They weren't afraid. They seemed to know he couldn't hurt them. Angrily, Hammond tore a branch from a tree and swiped at them with it. The compies dodged, nipped at the leaves, squeaked happily. They seemed to think he was playing a game. He thought again about the poison. He remembered that one of the animal handlers had been bitten by a compy in a cage. The handler had said the poison was like a narcotic. Peaceful, dreamy, no pain. You just wanted to go to sleep. The hell with that, he thought. Hammond picked up a rock, aimed carefully, and threw it, striking one compy flat in the chest. The little animal shrieked in alarm as it was knocked backward and rolled over its tail. The other animals immediately backed away. Better. Hammond turned away and started to climb the hill once more. Holding branches in both hands, he hopped on his left leg, feeling the ache in his thigh. He had not gone more than 10 feet when one of the compies jumped onto his back. He flung his arms wildly, knocking the animal away, but lost his balance and slid back down the hillside. As he came to a stop, a second compy sprang forward and took a tiny nip from his hand. He looked with horror, seeing the blood flow over his fingers. He turned and began to scramble up the hillside again. Another compy jumped onto his shoulder, and he felt a brief pain as it bit the back of his neck. He shrieked and smacked the animal away. He turned to face the animals, breathing hard, and they stood all around him, hopping up and down and cocking their heads, watching him. From the bite on his neck, he felt warmth flow through his shoulders, down his spine. Lying on his back on the hillside, he began to feel strangely relaxed, detached from himself. But he realized that nothing was wrong. No error had been made. Malcolm was quite incorrect in his analysis. Hammond lay very still, as still as a child in its crib, and he felt wonderfully peaceful. When the next compy came up and bit his ankle, he made only a half-hearted effort to kick it away. The little animals edged closer. Soon they were chittering all around him like excited birds. He raised his head as another compy jumped onto his chest, the animal surprisingly light and delicate. Hammond felt only a slight pain, very slight, as the compy bent to chew his neck. The Beach. Chasing the dinosaurs, following the curves and slopes of concrete, Grant suddenly burst out through a cavernous opening and found himself standing on the beach, looking at the Pacific Ocean. All around him, the young velociraptors were scampering and kicking in the sand. But one by one, the animals moved back into the shade of the palm trees at the edge of the mangrove swamp, and there they stood, lined up in their peculiar fashion, watching the ocean. They stared fixedly to the south.
I don't get it, Gennaro said.
I don't either, Grant said, except that they clearly don't like the sun. It wasn't very sunny on the beach, a light mist blew, and the ocean was hazy, but why had they suddenly left the nest? What had brought the entire colony to the beach? Gennaro flipped up the dial on his watch and looked at the way the animals were standing. Northeast, southwest, same as before. Behind the beach, deeper in the woods, they heard the hum of the electric fence.
At least we know how they get outside the fence, Ellie said.
Then they heard the throb of marine diesels, and through the mist they saw a ship appearing in the south, a large freighter. It slowly moved north.
So that's why they came out, Gennaro said.
Grant nodded. They must have heard it coming.